This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the lead stories are the NES Classic is back. Access to deceased family members' Facebook pages. FCC's made a decision on kid video rules for broadcasters. Facebook groups and some new privacy concerns. And Tesla's federal tax rebate, an update on where that's at. I want to welcome you to episode 1298 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, July 12th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. Thanks for being here. We are not on Facebook Live today. We'll talk about that in a second. But we're on YouTube Live and we're on Twitch. And a little bit of detail on that. But if you're listening to this show basically a day or two later, we want you to make sure to take time to visit geeknewscentral.com. And when you get over to the website, you're going to find a way to subscribe to the show. There's actually been an update there via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. All those links are on the website, so you can get the show really anywhere. For you Android users, clicking on that Google Podcast link will guarantee you that it'll take you to a show listing of this show and allow you to add that widget to your Android dashboard or onto your mobile device. That way you'll have access to Geek News Central 24/7 by the built-in app that Google's provided. It's really, really slick. So you Android users, just click on the Google Podcast link. Of course, if you have another podcatcher, just click on the On Android link as well. So again, get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content from our content writers. It's very, very important. I think you're going to enjoy the content over there. And we want you to visit the site daily and get signed up for a newsletter as well. The newsletter contains all the links I'm going to be talking about during this show. And you can visit our chat room at geeknews.chat. And if you have comments on today's show, it's real easy. All you have to do is email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the Twitter address is @geeknews. Are you following a trend? Geek News, it's where it's at. Of course, you can join our Slack channel as well. Our Slack channel is a place to hang out and be with cool kids. Just send an email. You want to be part of the Slack channel. You can follow me on Google or on Google Plus or on Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. You can watch the show on the Roku, although I've heard this show has had some issues trying to find out what's going on there on the Tech Podcast channel. So I'll find out the dealio on that. Of course, you can watch or listen on the Apple TV. You can listen on Stitcher on blueberry.com. If you have a smart home device like an Amazon Echo or Google Home or Microsoft Cortana device, you can use the keyword to launch those devices and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. That'll get you going, get you all launched up. Hey, I want to just, you know, give a shout out here to all our great shows. The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site by my writing team at progear.guru, the New Media Show with my co-host, Mr. Rob Galini, and the Podcast Legends at podcastlegends.com. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com, the longest continuous running sponsor of a podcast known to man. You can find all my deals at GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And that's a great way to get connected here. So with all my codes, that's the way you can help support the show. And really a big, big way. And all you got to do, again, is once you get over to the website, once you get over to the website, you can grab a code, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain, or a $1 a month managed WordPress thing for the first year with a free domain. Again, you can't beat these deals. These are the best deals in podcasting, best deals in GoDaddy that I can offer to you. $12 gets you set up online and you can start a podcast. Really, that's the beauty of it right there. $12 is your first year out of cost pocket, gets you everything you need to get started. Of course, if you're a business owner, you can try 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. And you know, GoDaddy has helped tens of thousands of our listeners save thousands of dollars each month with our codes that we have to share with you. And of course, these promo codes keep my podcast online, keeps my independent writing team employed. And as you remember, you're supporting a small team of independent content creators here at Geek News Central to really make things happen. Keep the lights on, keep the insurance paid, keep gas in the car. It's important that you're there and hopefully supporting the show either by sharing the codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, linking to the website through a Facebook posting or on Twitter or wherever you hang out socially, on your own blog, linking back to that page is absolutely fantastic. Just grab the URL right off the website and link it up. It definitely helps out in more way than one. But definitely grab those codes, use them. We thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. July is, typically a slow month where people are out enjoying the summer. And so all your support is greatly appreciated in the ongoing relationship I have with my good friends over at GoDaddy.com. All right, so let me make a little bit of a transition here. From time to time, over the past number of years, I have entertained the idea of bringing on new podcasters. And I'm at that point again where I'm looking for a single show that would like to join the family here. And if you are doing a show or if you are thinking about doing a show and want to get started, definitely drop me a line. I'd like to link up with you. Some great opportunities going to events like the Consumer Electronics Show. You can tag your or hook your wagon on and tag along, and it's a good time. So if you're thinking about doing your own show, thinking about starting one, and you'd like to get a little bit of a boost by working with me, feel free to send me an email and let me know that you would consider teaming up with me here at Geek News Central and bringing some unique content to the website. So that said, the application or the lines are open if you want to consider participating and working with me. Also, just want to talk just a little bit here. I've been reviewing everything recently really, really close. Ever since we've had some credit card fraud. I'm going through each credit card bill with a lot of detail, and I noticed a charge from Norton, and I run Norton antivirus on the remaining Windows machines here, on the Macs, and basically I was like, I didn't think anything was up for renewal, so I went into the Norton website, and lo and behold, I discovered 6 or 7 subscriptions that luckily the majority of them were not popping. In the next, couple of weeks. But there were some that would have cost me over the course of, maybe 5-6 months, $300-$400. And so Norton has this real, I've had so many computers over the years that I've learned that the first thing I do is, I get them set up, I get antivirus, I get malware software put on them. And I go over to Norton and I'll pick one of the licenses from one of the computers or from one of the licenses that has a computer remaining on it, and I'll link that to a computer. Well, the problem is, as I have deserviced machines, I haven't deactivated those subscriptions. So I was literally sitting here scratching my head trying to figure out which license goes with which PCs. Now, the Macs are easy to track. I've got a handle on that. But the remaining PCs here, I was oblivious. I was trying to link them. There was no way to figure it out. So I turned auto renew off on everything. And they have a little trick that they do to say, oh, you're not going to get this and this when you turn this off. And I'm like, I don't care. I need to get this figured out. And once I do, over the next 6 months, I'll turn auto renew back on the probably remaining two licenses that were valid and not stuff that was just sitting there hitting me every year from a renewal standpoint on maybe machines that are just completely offline. So anyway, that was something I was, so these auto renew stuff, folks, pay attention to it. Okay. Cause it definitely caught my attention today. This week, had meetings with Spotify. We've had meetings with various vendors that are looking to do private podcasting. It's been a pretty busy week. Some things that I really am lacking in, my gym schedule is totally off track. So the goal is to try to get back on track, but it's just been a little bit insane. I'm trying to get ready for Podcast Movement, get my presentation done. Not only that, on last Saturday's or the previous couple of weeks, the Mac Mini on the bottom, for those of you that are watching the video, in this back area here where there's the screen, I've got a Mac Mini on top and a Mac Mini on bottom, two Skype lines that come in. And I was, this top machine's working fine, great. I've had to rebuild this one once and it's acting really, really weird. When I launch a program, it just sits there and goes, and like 20 minutes later, the program loads. Well, this machine is super, super critical to my operation. So I slicked it and restarted it, and it still is got a problem. And Mac makes it real easy to recover a machine and to start over, but it just was, there's something wrong with it. And so I've got a couple of critical interviews coming up over the next couple of weeks. So I ordered a replacement Mac Mini for it. And that arrived today. And I was looking at the dates. Those two machines are 7 years old. Been running those for 7 years, different monitors, but I was blown away. It's been 7 years since those machines have, and really that's all their only purpose in life is no browser, not any utilization. They just are used for Skype calls. So they don't need a lot of goomph, you know what I mean? So I've had good luck so far. So what I'm going to do, there's actually a referenced article tonight in the show that talks about some great deals on some SSD drives. So as soon as I'll get it replaced tomorrow so that we'll be ready for the new media show on Saturday and have the new computer up and running. But the key point was, is that I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be a hard drive or something related. I hadn't bought any SSDs in a while. I didn't have any extras laying around and to be on caution. And anyway, what I'll do is I'll take that machine out and we'll use it for another purpose. It'll continue to run for many years until it dies. But the long short of it is in the show tonight, I found a deal, or Kirk found a deal in the pre-production on SSD drives, 500 gig Samsung 860 SSD drives on sale at an incredible price. And I picked up two and I'll put the, once I get back from Podcast Movement, I'll put the solid state drive in the top one as well. That gets some more life out of it, but maybe this bottom one, it couldn't, and maybe it's a hard drive, maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, that's amazing. It's been going this long without really a hitch. And so I erred on the side of caution, probably put the SSD in and it'll probably run like a champ. And then I'll be cussing myself. But I bought the lowest possible end Mac Mini because it really doesn't, again, it doesn't need to do anything but run Skype. So well, investments got many years and I got my money out of it. But anyway, time for one fresh machine at least. Okay, so let me move on from that. We'll get into the content tonight. Again, I want to thank everyone being here. Again, we're live at live.geeknewscentral.com and we're live on twitch.tv/geeknews tonight. And largely because Facebook made a change to whatever they do over there. and it broke every streaming service out there, and they're trying to figure a workaround. I thought I had a workaround for tonight. I put that in place, and the stream never activated when I went live tonight. So I have some more troubleshooting to do. So we're on Twitch again tonight, which is no big deal. And then I'll post the video on Facebook post show, and then we'll move on. Okay, so don't forget about the Mastodon chat server, geeknews.chat. Make sure you log in, get an account over there. But first and foremost, the big news of the day is that the NES Classic and Super Nintendo NES Classic are deep in stock at GameStop. So listen. These will ship on the 20th. And so there, I ordered one today. I bought an NES Classic, got it ordered, and I'm really jazzed here. And my order went through. They collected their $59 from me. And we should, and I couldn't ship it to Hawaii though. Yeah, I was able to ship this one to Hawaii. With some other stuff, I wasn't able to ship to Hawaii. But this NES Classic deal that's available is fantastic, and I'm just jazzed that I was able to hook up one and get one ordered. So I'll keep you advised. But the link is in the show notes on that. And again, they say they're deep in stock. And you can get one right away. Okay. So the NES Classic Edition, $59.99 at GameStop. You're limited to buying one. That's all I wanted. But it's available, and, you can go order them, and they'll ship on the 20th of July. All right. So just a heads up for those of you that didn't get one last round, you can get one, this round. So Germany's highest court ruled Thursday that Facebook profiles should be made accessible to people's heirs after they're dead. A judge made the ruling as part of a case brought by the parents of a 15-year-old girl who died after being hit by a train in 2012. The girl's parents were told Facebook should grant them access to their daughter's online profile as setting a legal precedent for future inheritance cases. When someone dies, Facebook's current policy is to memorialize their account, locking it down, but allowing people to still see it and pay tribute to its owner. The company allows users to nominate a legacy contact who can help manage the memorialized profile, but they cannot log in to the person's profile or access any of their private information. But now in Germany, thanks to Thursday's ruling, personal Facebook data should be treated the same as personal letters, diaries, and passed on to the heirs of the deceased. Now, what if you don't want your heirs to have access to your Facebook data? So these questions on how to weigh the wishes of the relatives and protect the privacy of third parties, primarily the deceased, are definitely some of the toughest out there, some of the toughest to fully work through. Facebook said, "We sympathize with the family. At the same time, Facebook accounts are used for personal exchange between individuals, which we have a duty to protect. In this particular case, the parents of the girls wanted access to the account in the hopes of establishing whether death was a suicide." They go on to say, "Not only would this provide them with closure, but allow them to establish whether the driver of the train was entitled to compensation." Facebook has already appealed an early ruling on the case, which caused it to be transferred to Germany's Federal Court of Justice prior to Thursday's ruling. So we'll see what the company does with this. They say, though, while we respectfully disagree with today's decision by the FCJ, the lengthy process shows how complex the issues under discussion is, said the spokesman for Facebook. We'll be analyzing judgment to assess its full implications. So what do you think? Do you think a minor, let's just use a couple of scenarios, a minor child, first of all, you should probably have their login, but a minor child, should you not be able to get on their Facebook page and gone through it, deceased or not? All right. Now, the next question is, what about an adult, a deceased adult? Should the heir be allowed? I think there's probably pretty mixed feelings on this across the board, don't you think? Some people would have no problem with it. Some people would, depending on what's in your message queue, what you've had on your Facebook's pretty public. And really, the only thing that would be private largely is the messenger part. Unless you've sent a post to someone privately from your newsline. So I'd love to hear what you guys think on this. I really, really do. The FCC voted today to start the process of easing rules for broadcasters, which they must follow for airing children's programming. The so-called Kid Vid rules adopted in the 1990s were supposed to address concerns that kids were seeing too much violence in advertising when they turned into their favorite Saturday morning cartoon. After years of lobbying by parents groups, legislation to keep broadcasters in check was passed. The FCC developed then a set of rules that spelled out what broadcasters needed to do to ensure where kids were getting quality educational TV programming. The FCC says that 20-year-old rule needs updating. Remember, we're not just looking at, there's not like three channels anymore. There's literally thousands. They argue that on-demand and online video platforms like Amazon, Netflix, and Hulu have changed the way kids watch TV, and I think it's true. So the FCC's current children's television rules don't reflect the vast changes of the video marketplace. So the FCC is proposing to eliminate these requirements from the 1990s. It's also proposing to eliminate other requirements. Requirements like quarterly reports that describe the educational programming they're offering. The proposal suggests making those reports annual, and the FCC would like to see broadcasters satisfy their kid programming obligations via sponsorship efforts or other non-broadcast efforts. Jessica Rosenworcel, the lone Democrat on the FCC, acknowledged changes in TV viewing, but she said the FCC proposal guts the old rules and leaves children vulnerable. The FCC's proposal takes the values of the Children Television Act, instead of modernizing them for the digital age, seeks to discard them. So we'll see what happens here. But I think we all agree that some educational TV programming is good. All children, regardless of their zip code per se, or their family's income, deserve access to educational programming. But this FCC is going to make changes there. So does that mean that kids programming is going to go away on Saturday morning? I don't even know. Be honest with you, I don't even know what's on TV on Saturday morning anymore. Very, very rare that I ever have a TV on Saturday morning. And if I do, some national event is happening and I'm watching the news. So we'll see what happens here. Facebook is changing its privacy settings after the outing of members of a closed medical support group. A closed group for women at genetic risk for breast cancer wasn't as private as its member thought. The BRCA sisterhood group was created as a support network for women with the BRCA gene. Now, that gene is a mutation that greatly increases the risk of breast cancer, often resulting in preemptive mastectomies. Did I say that right? Mastectomies. The group was listed as private because of the sensitivity of the issue. But while the content of the group was closed to outsiders, the group's membership was broadly visible, inadvertently revealing sensitive medical information. Sisterhood members became aware of the loophole through a Chrome extension that allowed one of the members to download detailed information for thousands of members in a matter of minutes. Though the extension drew attention to the problem, private group membership has long been visible on Facebook's page. Bulk member lists could also be downloaded through a loophole involving the group ID. Facebook acknowledged that member lists were essentially public, that anyone could see the title and the member list, a closed group. So Facebook appears, though, now to have changed its privacy settings in the wake of this report. A Facebook representative said that the company had already received significant feedback about membership privacy. The change, which seems to have occurred in late June, was not publicly announced, although a number of changes were made to public documentation. According to a current version of the same Facebook help page, only current members can see the members of a closed group. So they got called on it and they made the change. So if you're part of a private Facebook group now, you will, hopefully, your personal information will remain private, not to the prying eyes. Imagine that we gotten someone pulling that list down and then marketing to those women. Sick. Think about buying a Tesla. You know, Tesla customers so far have been able to avail themselves of the $7,500 federal tax credit. But Tesla has already delivered its 200th vehicle, which has triggered a gradual phase out of the tax credit for the company's customers. So you may now only get a credit of $3,750. This will only be for 6 months because starting June 1st, 2019, the credit will be further halved to $1,875. And this is bad news for the hundreds of thousand customers who are still in line for the $35,000 base model of the Tesla Model 3. Those cars won't arrive in 2019, which means they won't be eligible for the full federal tax credit. So just a heads up there, all right, folks? This next story is a big one. Tech support scammers know everything about my computer, Dell. About my computer, a Dell customer says. They're asking for Dell to say how scammers got serial numbers and other customer data. More than 30 months after surfacing, a tech support scam targeting Dell computer owners continues to raise questions about how callers know sensitive information, including the PC serial numbers, names, phone numbers, and email addresses that customers gave to the PC maker. You know, most of these calls are opportunistic. A caller will falsely claim that she's being called, you know, that you're getting called from Microsoft or one of the non-existent problem. But when someone calls and says, I'm from Dell, and they know your name and they know your computer serial number and your service tag, you think it's a legitimate call. And folks are coughing up hundreds of dollars in fraudulent support costs. So that's amazing. Here's an example. March 1st, 2018, around 2:30 p.m., call lasts about 6 minutes. Scammer spoofed Dell officials' phone number. They identified themselves calling from Dell and claimed they had identified a problem with my laptop, needed to fix it. Pretty standard tech support scam stuff. But they identified my computer by model, service tag, and they had my phone number and sensitive Dell product info. I didn't stick around for too long and indicated I knew this was a scam. The guy called me a beep or something. But this was people that knew that they had to, knew that there was something up. So this is crazy. This is first I've run across this. So be aware, folks. If you've got a Dell machine, you get a call from the tech support, it could be very much a scam, all right? So just be aware out there, all right? This next article in being a new Android phone user, I was let me check and see if I've done these things. So you probably waste a lot of time on your phone doing menial tasks, but Android includes a lot of automated functions that you can use to save time, like automatic Google Play updates. You can set Google Play Protect app scanning and basically checks your apps. You can set automatic screen brightness. You can set up a smart store for freeing up space. Automatically join Wi-Fi networks. I got that working. Always on VPN if you want to force that in. And I've been using NordVPN recently, which seems to be pretty good. And also setting up a do not disturb schedule, which is smart. So all these things I found and used for years on the iPhone that I didn't know where to find on the Android. And sometimes it's a little intimidating to dig through all the settings on an Android phone. But here's some tutorials for you. You're looking for a laptop, maybe a cheaper a gaming laptop. And the folks over at CNET have some gaming laptops under $1,000 to get right now. These are some entry-level graphics. They're not super on performance, but they'll do the deal. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you guys to review the machines that they're basically recommending. Also, Twitter is trying to figure out how to make more money, and they're going to be add advertising to its Explore tab. Now, I don't use that tab very often. I found it often with irrelevant data. Sorry to take a large hit of water. Irrelevant data for what I'm really kind of looking for. So expect if you get into that Explore tab in Twitter to start seeing more ads. And I think that's going to be the case across the space. Now, this scale, we've talked about this scale before. This is the Eufy, E-U-F-Y, BodySense Smart Scale. And I got mine for $43. I got a deal on it. Android Central has got a link to this now, and it's at $40. And I've got this in the house, and it syncs to my iPhone. And it records my weight, so I have a daily weight tracking. And the accuracy of it was within about a couple tenths, because I have a really good scale. And then I've been using this one. This is a good one. This Eufy BodySense Smart Scale. And $40 out there, folks. So if you're looking for one that connects via Bluetooth, will update your health data on a regular basis, this is the one for you. Apple today did a refresh of the MacBook Pro. And Apple's most expensive MacBook Pro now costs $6,700. That's if you trick it out with everything. But if you want to start at the 13-inch model, $1,799. The base 15-inch model is $2,399. And you can, of course, add all kinds of options. And that's what kicks the price up high. I do like that you can go to 32 gigs of RAM at this point. I'm not in the market for a new MacBook Pro. But if you are, remember, you can get up to $1,000 trade-in on a current Mac computer. Depends on how old it is, but you can get up to $1,000 trade-in. So it wouldn't make a lot of sense if you bought a MacBook Pro last year to trade that in, and you're giving up a lot of money, you know. But if you've got a machine that's a little long in the tooth, still operating, you might get a credit. So don't forget about their trade-in, all right, if you're thinking about updating here. But still a lot to pay for a computer, for sure, but they've crossed over here with some higher core counts and everything else, which is pretty exciting on the Mac side. They've also dropped the 2015 MacBook Pro from its lineup, so that one is no longer available. So you know, when Apple launched the current MacBook Pro design in 2016, it kept the old 15-inch model around. Now the 2018 refresh is here. The 2015 is gone, and the 2016 is still there. I don't know what the pricing is, but anyway, that's changed to the lineup over there. Also, the final build for Mac OS Mojave is in work. And if you've been wondering what you're going to get from that, and I really don't even follow these betas at all, but they're talking about some cool features that might not totally change the way you use your Mac, but will speed up parts of your workflow and help you keep your files organized and make you smile with customizable touches. That's one thing I will say about the Mac. It's not as easy to organize media in it as a PC. PC is very, very straightforward. A Mac, not as, in my opinion, not as easy to manage your stuff. Mojave's flashiest feature is dark mode, which darkens system elements like the menu bar, dock, finder, window, toolbars, which makes whatever you're working on stand out. Colors your images pop, articles that you read are easy to focus on, and it's a nice, fresh look. You can also, when you're when you turn on dark mode in system preferences, you can also pick an accent color that's used when you click on a radio button or something like that. Finder's also got a new killer photo viewer that's been updated and look like some editing tools basically right in that. That's all right. And they've got something called Stacks. Stacks is worth the public beta price of Mission by itself. So it's basically helps you clean up your desktop. So if your desktop gets cluttered with screenshots, images, and other files as you work, mine does, Stacks sorts them by kind. It keeps them sorting them as they accumulate. As you keep taking screenshots, for example, they appear atop the screenshot stack, not as individual files on the desktop. Click a stack to expand it, and it stays that way until you click the stack again. This, to me, is, like I think the author said, worth the update. There's updates to the dock where you have recently used apps are showing up. You've got dynamic desktop wallpaper. It's got the ability now to sniff out 32-bit apps. And when you launch one, you'll get a pop-up warning that it won't work in future versions of Mac OS. But sometimes those legacy apps are background processes and the warning will be about something vague. So don't panic. If you don't know what the warning is referring to, just open system information. And it gives you some data. There's a new news app, new screenshot tools. This is exciting. I've been using Snagit on my Mac from the beginning because I'm not real happy with the Command-Shift-3 or Command-Shift-4 selections in the Mac. But now they've added a new screenshot tool. They've also got the ability to trim audio and video files right in Finder, which is interesting. So all this stuff that you can do, you can kind of shrink and make changes. You can capture videos of your screen by hitting Shift-Command-5. And you can actually do a screencast. And you can ask Siri for a password. That's kind of cool. So Siri will actually tell you your Amazon password. That's slick. So again, lots of cool stuff here. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to go through, but Mac OS Mojave is coming. Probably the coolest article tonight is about something that's going on at CERN or using CERN tech. There's now a color X-ray. The familiar black and white X-ray could soon be replaced with a detailed 3D color scans that show everything from fat and bone to metal and soft tissue. A father and son science team in New Zealand created the Mars Spectral X-ray Scanner by adapting technology used at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN, for hunting for the Higgs boson, also known as the God particle. The 3D color scans deliver significantly more medical information than a conventional X-ray showing fat, water, calcium, and disease markers. The scans look like detailed 3D anatomical cross-sections with the skin peeled away. So far, the research has been using a smaller version of Mars to study cancer, bone and joint health, and vascular diseases that cause heart attacks. The Mars scanner incorporates MediPix chip technology developed at CERN. The original concept of MediPix is that it works like a camera, detecting and counting each individual particle hitting the pixel, so that this technology results in high-resolution, high-contrast, very reliable images, making it easy for use in medical images. So this is really, really, really cool stuff. It really, really is. So we'll see where this leads for sure. Uber is going to let you pay with Venmo. V-E-N-M-O. You guys use Venmo? 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 I guess it's Venmo. I've never used Venmo. I'm a PayPal kind of guy. But if you want to try Venmo, I guess you can hook it up. And Venmo PayPal is the parent company, which should not be a surprise, but you're going to be able to pay for your Uber rides with Venmo. This is scary. Cybersecurity company Recorded Future said some of the data, sensitive documents about U.S. military drones and man was describing how to handle insurgents have been offered for sale on the dark web. Apparently, this data has been stolen from a U.S. Air Force captain's computer. The catch included maintenance guides for the Reaper and many training manuals for troops deployed outside the U.S. So police are trying to track down the hacker who stole the files, but they basically got in through this guy's router. He must have had a computer at home, hooked into his router at home that had not been patched. And they were able to hijack and get inside his machine and pull all these sensitive documents down. There's always something that's going to give the bad guys access to stuff they shouldn't have. But the documents seemed to have been stolen. Oh, wait, ironically, the captain had completed a cyber awareness challenge shortly before the document. Let me tell you about these cyber awareness challenges. This is annual training that DOD and military folks get. It's so cartoonish. It's a joke. So I'm sure that he was really trained well. But apparently this cache of documents wasn't all. There was stuff that information about IEDs, about the M1 Abrams tank. This hacker, apparently, according to the people that interviewed him, said that he had deep access to U.S. military networks and often watched supposedly live footage shot by drones on operations. That's insane. So they're going to... If this turns out to be true, they're going to need to get their act together and get this stuff locked down. Well, we're already halfway through 2018, but there's still a lot of stuff in store for all of us for the rest of the year, tech-wise. Samsung Unpacked events have traditionally been huge deals, and the Korean giant announcing major updates to phones. So Samsung's Unpacked event isn't until August 9th. But we're already pretty much fully expecting, you know, a number of different devices and maybe more. The Galaxy Note 9, the Galaxy Tab S4 potentially, maybe a Galaxy Watch. So just on and on and on of some stuff that could be announced. And we'll see what new phones are announced. So anyway, we've got a little time to wait for that, but it's in the cards. There's a very concerning report that both SpaceX and Boeing are behind in their manned crew launch efforts. You know, NASA's been relying on Russia to send its astronauts into space. And we know that both SpaceX and Boeing are working independently to meet that demand. But a new report from the Government Accountability Office, GAO, reveals neither of them are as far along as they should be. The two companies, SpaceX with its Dragon capsule and Boeing with its Starliner spacecraft, are both under contract, and they're missing milestones. Boeing and SpaceX continue to make progress developing the crew transportation systems, but both contractors have further delayed the certification milestones to early 2019 without a viable contingency option for ensuring interrupted access to International Space Station in the event of further commercial through crew delays. We concluded that NASA was at risk of not being able to maximize the return of its multi-billion dollar investment in the International Space Station. So we may not be ready to put astronauts in our own gear here on time. So we'll see what that leads to. How many of you are familiar with Canary? Smart home security startup Canary has introduced a safety button for their iOS app. The feature powered by Noonlight offers a distressed user the ability to get help they need quickly and with no talking required. Especially they launch the app, they hold the button if they're feeling unsafe on the phone, and they squeeze that until they feel that they are safe again. And when they release it, they have to put in their PIN to cancel the alarm. But if they press it, hold it, activate it, and let go of it and don't put in the PIN, then 10 seconds after that, the app sends the GPS coordinates to local law enforcement. Fire trucks, ambulances can be requested as well via text or voice. So this gives a woman that's walking on the street the ability to essentially call for help without having to pick her phone up and put it to her ear. So, interesting move by the folks at Canary. All right. So again, I told you that I picked up a 500 gig solid state drive for $99. So it's an 860 EVO, and there's different classes of these SSDs. It's a 2.5 inch SATA version, which is currently going for $100 through Newegg's eBay store. That particular SSD has been about $20 to $30 higher. But so if you're not looking for a new SSD, they have a ton of deal on for Dell's Black Friday and July sale, which includes TVs, Mac Minis, DJI drones, monitors, laptops, you name it. So let me see, what was the DJI deal? Let me go down through that. Did they show what it is? So you get a DJI Mavic Pro quadcopter for $800. That's $199 off. And of course, they've got some listings for Prime, Amazon Prime Day early deals, laptops and computers, HDTVs, electronic components, tools, and more. This one's full of savings. Link will be up in the show notes. There was a smash and dash in an Apple store. Thieves stole $27,000 worth of devices from a California Apple store. It lasted like 30 seconds. And it happened in Fresno, California. Four males entered the Fashion Fair Apple store. And basically 30 seconds later, they were out. They grabbed mostly laptops and some tablets. But I wonder, wouldn't you think that Apple would have all that stuff serialized and be able to slick those machines, shut them down? You would think so for commercial stuff. This should not come as a surprise. The FCC is changing the country's emergency alert system to prevent another Hawaii incident. They announced today that it'll bolster the country's emergency alert system to prevent unexpected false alarms. Local officials will now be able to conduct live code tests that will use the same alert codes and processes that would be required for an actual emergency. The idea is that officials will be at better learned systems while the public will get used to responding to alerts and know what to expect. Everyone in the area will get a test message like a real alert. The agency says that the public service announcement about the emergency alert system will now be able to use the same alert sounds as an actual emergency. And the alerts will also include a disclaimer about what's happening. Officials will have to actually tell people beforehand. So that's interesting here that they are setting up so it does a real world test. Shop at Walmart? Do you? Well, Walmart just got a new patent. They've got a patent that basically is a surveillance tool that can eavesdrop on workers and people checking out. So they basically set it up so that they have the ability to listen to the transaction, listen to how the bag is being packed of the employee and of the person that's in the store shopping. Walmart says, we've always thinking about new concepts and ways that will help us further enhance how we serve customers, but we don't have any future details to share on these patents at this time. So, if Walmart decides to install it, though, there's little employees can do. It's perfectly legal as long as the company says it's for business purposes. All right. Well, you can choose to shop there or not. Sprint has split their unlimited plan into two tiers. If it's unlimited, how is it in two tiers? So the first of Sprint's two unlimited plans called Unlimited Basic. It's a toned down version of the $60 a month Sprint Unlimited Freedom plan. Users will get 500 megabits of hotspot data while video will be throttled to 480. Unlimited Plus is the second tier of the split. Unlimited plan subscribers will get 15 gigs of LTE hotspot data every month. With no video throttling, subscribers also receive a free subscription to Tidal and Hulu for the same amount. Both plans offer roaming options in Canada and Mexico as well. So their unlimited plans are really, as anything else, not unlimited. Apple is discontinuing its photo printing service. And if you've ever had one of these done, they're pretty cool. You can pick the pictures you want and they'll create a book for you. Well, they're going to shut that down on September 30th and redirect you to other companies that are doing just that as well. So you won't be out completely, but you will be able to, won't be able to get it through Apple directly. This next item, I'm just looking at it and I'm saying why. French fashion house Maison Margiela may have accidentally come up with a brilliant way to keep people from constantly checking their phones. Just stash them away on your ankle. Former head designer for Givenchy and Christian Dior presented a new runway show on July 4th, and Maison Margiela released a video of the event Wednesday, part of the Paris Couture Week. The show featured some far-out fashions that fit into the Blade Runner. Basically, it's a holster wrap around the ankle with two arms and strap that keep your phone in place. It has an extendable arm and holds the phone out to the side. This is ridiculous. When you see the picture to this, you're going to be like, no woman in her right mind would wear one of these things ever. It's the stupidest thing. It's got to be a joke, but it's not. If that's what they say is fashionable, oh my God, please, please help us. And women, please, ladies, 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 please don't encourage them by buying one of these. Android P, they may have outed the name of Android P, and the Android P might be the Android Pistachio. That name has come up before, so we'll have to keep an eye on whether or not that's what it's really called. All right, a lot of super value phones out there right now. There's the Moto G6, G6 Play, and G6 Plus, and these are $250 phones, and the review on them is really great. 7.5, 7.5, that people are blown away by how good of a phone this is for $250. So if you're looking for a phone to pick up, an Android to pick up, the Moto G6, G6 Play, and G6 Plus may be a phone you want to consider, especially considering the cheap price, right? All right, HP's got some refurbished Chromebooks for $110. And yes, they have a refurbished HP 14 Chromebook for $110. This is a killer deal. And so link will be up in the show notes. You can check them out. These will probably sell very, very quickly, but very, very cool. Also, a public service announcement from me. If you have a young adult in your house and they have a credit card and they don't know how to read their credit card, there's a great article about reading your credit card bill and what each one of those things on that credit card bill mean. I think it's a good point. You know, no one ever taught me how to read a credit card. I was just looking at the interest being racked up and panicking. That's what got my attention. But if you have a youngin that you need to get educated, link will be for you. The item of the day for me that I'm salivating a little bit over, although I don't think I fully need it because I've got the iMac Pro and a Mac Pro here. Apple's worked with Blackmagic on a new external GPU. And this will work with any Mac that has a Thunderbolt port, okay? So Apple is selling a product for users who need more graphic processing power. Apple worked with the cinema company Blackmagic on an external GPU based around the Radeon Pro 580 with 8 gigs of video memory. Apple says it should give a 2.8 times faster graphic performance on the 15-inch MacBook Pro and 8 times faster on the 13-inch. The Blackmagic GE GPU also has 2 Thunderbolt ports for USB 3 ports and 1 HDMI 2 port, making it pretty capable docking station as well. It's the first eGPU to support Thunderbolt 3 displays like the 5K LG monitor Apple recommends for the use with the MacBook Pro. And this is all-in-one eGPU, unlike any other chassis design. And it makes it less flexible and unupgradable, but it allows a more integrated choir design with a smaller footprint. The Blackmagic eGPU is available now for $699. And my understanding is it'll work with any MacBook that has a Thunderbolt port. Okay. So link will be up in the show notes on this. This is any type of video, faster video processing is awesome. The Justice Department is going to appeal the Time Warner AT&T merger. And they filed it. And even though the mergers went through, the federal government hasn't had enough licks yet. They're going to go back and try again here. So that brings me to the end of the regular scheduled content. Let me bring up any comments I may have from the last show. I got an email from Michael. He said, "Hey, Todd, I want to respond to a couple of topics you tossed to the Ohana over the last few shows. Regarding purchasing event tickets, I haven't used Ticketmaster directly in quite a while. I've either used the online purchasing built into the venue's website, for example, our local theater offering Broadway shows, music, and other events, or I've used a ticket resale service like SeatGeek or StubHub to buy tickets. SeatGeek tries to add value with a color-coded indicator of the value of each of the tickets offered in the venue. One section up or over might be a much better value to the one on the right. But when you have an event selling out in 30 minutes, can they still get tickets, Michael?" He says, "Regarding the Inbox app, I've used it as the primary mail app on my phone and desktop for personal Gmail for some time now. Features I like about it is real-time notifications, emails as they arrive, bundling of less important emails by category, and the ability to archive old email in a single tap. I probably only put it one step ahead of the older Gmail apps, though, and certain things like setting up rules still require you to go to Gmail to access those settings. Best wishes and have a great week. Mike from Albany, New York." Mike, thank you for sending your comment. Definitely appreciate it. You too can get on this. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to go to send your feedback. So we're fast approaching episode 1300. And what do you guys want me to do for 1300? Anything special? Would you like a rundown again? Or, you know, these anniversaries to me are kind of like, almost like we've been there and done that a number of times. So what should we do for episode 1300? What would you like to hear? What would you like me to rehash? Any stories you'd like me to retell? Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address, at Geeknews on Twitter. I want to appreciate everyone for tuning in and being with me and suffering through our Facebook Live problems. We'll get that figured out. And matter of fact, I'm going to be doing that immediately after the show. But everyone, thanks for being here. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time on the Geekness Central Podcast. Everyone, take care. Aloha.